When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Well, I, once again, am completely in the dark, and therefore you guys are both in the dark as well about what this opening to our show is going to be. All I was told just 30 seconds ago is that producer Jensen Karp, husband of this podcast, is, I found another clip, I think maybe an audio clip. And so he is, here he is, he's going to join us to share with us another audio clip. Yikes. No idea what it is.
Yikes. Well, it'll be audio for those who see this on, or listen to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your beautiful show.
It's a video clip?
It's a video on YouTube. Oh, okay. And, you know, every once in a while, I will go searching. It's one of my skills. It's almost like an archaeologist of sorts. Trying to find
You're the Indiana fossils. Jones of
yeah,
YouTube.
Trying to find fossils of the past. Mm-hmm. I like to call them embarrassing fossils.
Oh, right.
Things oh, no. maybe you don't oh, necessarily no. know are on the internet. I don't know. Just trying my hardest. And this one... I'm not going to say is a hidden gem. I didn't find something, you know, that's just like being unearthed right now. We've gotten emails about it a couple times, but I have never heard this person talk about it. Will, do you remember rapping about the way movies were made?
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes. Yes, I do.
What?
Oh my gosh, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
So Will was a Nickelodeon star before being on Boy Meets World. And by Nickelodeon star, I mean, he was like all over the channel.
The face of Nickelodeon. Yeah,
he was. He was like a big interstitials commercial guy. They sent him out to meet celebrities. Like I just watched a very cute interview he did with Weird Al. And one of the things that I really have taken from watching these clips of Will is he was like a really precocious kid. Like, yeah. like when he was younger than Boy Meets World, when he was like even in his kind of preteens, that kid had zero fear. Like it's actually yeah. semi terrifying. Like if
a zero fear and a bunch of nicotine.
I was just going to say it's all nicotine.
Nicotine and Otter Pops.
Yeah. He was just fueled by purple Otter Pops and cigarettes.
Like a celebrity would even like push back on him a little bit and Will would not step down. He would like yeah. ask the same question again. He was like a little Geraldo.
He was the coolest kid ever.
He was. He was extremely cool. And
he was
so
listening
cool.
to Husker Du Du and the Voodoo Guru. The Voodoo Goo Goos.
I like this clip is so funny to me, number one, as a big rap fan, but like, two, it's so crazy because like he was on a sketch show. Can you explain this sort of sketch show?
Yeah. So Nickelodeon at the time was looking for their quote unquote flagship show. So they created something called Don't Just Sit There. Mm-hmm. And it was it was a young Saturday Night Live. We had a band, we had special guests, we would do skits. And I was not on the first season, and then one of the hosts didn't work out. I came on, I think, season two, and it was my first on-camera job. I was 11 years old, and I got to move to New York City. I moved there with my older brother, Gary, and I went to a studio every day, and we got to, took us to You Can't Do That on Television, and we got slimed, and we got to know everyone on Nickelodeon. It was like back in the 80s, so it was pretty awesome.
It looks fun. And so one of the sketches on this SNL-like show for kids is that I think the theme of the week has to do with like Hollywood and making movies.
No, this is actually even worse. So we were moving. Nickelodeon Studios was Viacom and Nickelodeon was in New York City, and they moved to Universal Studios in Orlando.
That makes
and
sense.
When you went on the Nickelodeon Studios tour, this was the video that played to everybody to show them how movies were made.
So Will is employed to create a rap about how movies are made. And you see this in the theme park. And so I figured we'd watch this and play it and listen to it. And then at certain points, we'll just pause it and just talk about what we're watching. Because I do think just for our own health, it's worth maybe checking in on each other.
My name is Will and now I'm your host. I'm the editor.
What are you wearing?
In charge of what's called video post. You see, shooting in the studio is only part
what is that camera?
Then you bring a picture here and we begin our fun. What you gonna show us?
Okay, pause it really quick.
That's what the switch is for. Oh my God, I love this.
He's dressed like a rodeo clown.
Yes, what are you wearing? It's like
whatever they told me to.
It's so confident.
Can we talk about the squiggles? The little, those 90s squiggles on the sides?
They were in the Kooshlings commercial too.
That is the thing, right? That like pseudo confetti look. Yeah.
No, I had a mullet, Danielle. It was not.
It was a mullet. Okay, good. The mullet was very cool. Very cool.
And my shirt said Fresh Boy, and that's who I was supposed to be, was
Fresh Boy.
Fresh Boy. Hey, wait, Will, do you remember taping this?
I do. I absolutely do.
Were you into it?
Here's the other thing a lot of people don't know about me is one of my favorite things to do from the time I was like 8 to 12 was breakdance.
So fun.
Ooh.
So this
I've
was,
never seen you breakdance, dude. Can you still do it? Can you move?
I have no idea. I'm 47. I would probably hurt myself.
I've never seen you dance like that. That's
and
crazy.
And never did again. I think I slow danced at my wedding, and after a little bit of the free bourbon bar, I might have danced a bit, but I'm not a dancer guy.
Oh, let's watch the rest.
Oh, God.
Now come on over here and dig the ADO. With this joystick in my hand, I make the picture go.
Go-ho.
And depending how I cut it, that's the way the story goes.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, Will.
Oh, Will.
That is spectacular.
You want to know something? I remember every word.
Do you?
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Go.
Go ahead,
start.
Oh,
go.
God. You're kidding. No, I
Come
can't.
Come on.
He's part of it. Do part
I
of it.
Can't,
start, the beginning.
Wait. Give me the start. Give me the very start of it. How did it start again?
You think we know?
But give me the just start the video one time. Let's see.
My name
is Will, and now I'm your host. I'm the editor in charge of what's called video post. You see, shooting in the studio is only part one, cause then we bring the picture here and we begin our fun.
Yes! Yes! Oh my God! I can't believe we summoned the spirit of Fresh Boy.
Fresh Boy is here, guys.
I am sweating profusely here right now, by the way. Head to toe
I love
in sweat.
That you still know it.
Now we know what we have to do at the next live show.
Oh yes, you are. Gosh. You are totally coming on stage as Fresh Boy at the next live show. I want
the
those
sad
big
thing is,
pants.
That's one of two rap songs I've recorded.
Wow.
Bye, guys. I got something to find.
Yeah, exactly. See you later.
Well, no, the other one is the Ron Stoppable the Kim Possible rap, which went big in the late 2000s or mid 2000s. So,
God.
That was my second rap song. Nickelodeon was so much fun to work with. Every week you're in a food fight. You did something. It was great. There was
well,
yeah. So wow.
Thank you for that. Producer Jensen Karp, husband of this podcast.
Ex-husband of this podcast. Thank you for that.
I will continue to search the internet far and high and low and high and tall.
And wide.
I will do it and I will find something for all of you. Take care.
Thank you.
Please don't. No, no, no. We're happy with this one. Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh, man. That was good, Will. Fresh boy.
Like a pig over here. Wow. Very impressive.
Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm the editor in charge of what's called video post.
Fresh boy.
Fresh boy.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
As a podcast focus on reliving memories from our past, I can tell you firsthand, as you get older, your memory just isn't as reliable as it used to be.
Yeah, if we didn't have Will here, there would be a lot of dead air.
That is true, Robert. Well, guys, since I know you need a little help, you're going to love Legacy Box. It's the safest way to digitize your home videos and pictures, even when you think you don't have a way to watch them anymore.
Oh, this is perfect, especially with Mother's Day right around the corner.
It really is the perfect gift for the whole family, whether it's a sweet 16 or college graduation,
first steps, or performing a Backstreet Boys dance in between scenes on your childhood network sitcom. This is the way to reconnect with your history.
The process is so easy. You just fill your legacy box with old VHS or camcorder tapes, pictures, negatives, film reels. I mean, they even work with over 15 different types of analog media, so they have you covered.
Then you just send the box back and their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the U.S. and you'll get it all back on the cloud or on a thumb drive along with your originals.
I recently sent off my first box to Legacy Box and I got into my old storage unit and found about 40 tapes, all different media, and I was able to label each one and send it off. I cannot wait to see what these tapes hold.
Jensen and I also recently got some of his home videos digitized, and being able to hear his parents' voices again has been a real gift.
So join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories.
Go to legacybox.com/world to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever.
It's time to connect with your past and make sure those memories are preserved properly.
That's legacybox.com/world.
Now Now, as you guys have heard us discuss many times, during our time on Boy Meets World, we have ran into a lot of awkward situations as kid actors. But the one most people talk about, at least now that we've started this podcast, is what's the deal with the other Harley Kiner?
What is the deal?
What is the deal?
So we had Danny on to tell his story, and he talked to us about how, you know, basically a mental break during a table read hospitalized him and then, in essence, forced him off the show. And of course, this left production in a little bit of a pickle because he was in that week's episode and we had to come up with a replacement. They could have done a bunch of different things, but what they chose to do was just throw another actor into an already existing character. And there we have the other Harley Kiner. So in one of the stranger decisions by Boy Meets World producers, and honestly, 90s sitcoms as a whole, they decided to cast a totally different actor, one who did not really look like Danny at all, to play the same character, Harley Kiner, and they said nothing about it in the middle of the season. And the actor they cast was Kenny Johnston. Now, let's be honest. Kenny walked into an unwinnable situation.
Yeah.
As we talked about during his one episode, Wrong Side of the Tracks, the recap we did a few weeks ago, he did a great job. But filling the shoes of Danny and doing it surrounded by confusion and a bunch of broken hearts was impossible to overcome for all of us cast and ultimately the audience. So he did not return, which made way for Adam Scott to come in as Griff Hawkins. And that one episode with that Harley Kiner was never mentioned again. And then Danny's Harley does return in season 3 to close that loophole a little later. So Kenny, after Boy Meets World, would continue to act. He showed up on TV shows like News Radio and Modern Family, and he is still working today. So we've now heard Danny's story. We've heard Blake and Ethan's story. We've even heard Adam Scott's story. And today we hear another story. Let's please welcome to the show the other Harley, Kenny Johnston.
Hello.
Hello.
Kenny.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing? Good.
Doing well. Will was specifically just talking about, he's dying to know which character you played on News Radio because Will will probably be able to quote your lines from it.
Which episode were you in?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I think it was the second season. I played a FedEx guy and they gave me a name, which was really nice. So I was in like two scenes.
Okay.
And the, man, I haven't seen that show in a while. Is it Vicky Thomas? Who's the girl in it, the redhead?
The redhead. Yes, I know. She plays Beth, but I can't, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So she had a big crush on him, and she grabbed the FedEx guy and took him in a room, and that was it.
Oh,
pretty
okay.
Racist.
I do remember this episode. Okay,
I think my name was Danny. I think they gave me a name.
Nice.
It's always a plus when you get a name, right?
Yeah, they might just give me a name, not FedEx.
Don't have to be number one on the call sheet, but please just give my character a name.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, welcome.
Thank you so much
for being here with us today.
Absolutely.
We are really happy that we were able to get in touch with you. Did you ever think you'd be talking about an episode of Boy Meets World in 2023?
Never. But, you know, every now and then, I actually worked part-time in a school over the years. And every now and then the students will be like, wait a minute, were you Harley in Boy Meets World? And you know, the students lit up. So, you know, the show is really carried over the years, I think, you know what I mean? Through the generations, which is great.
Yeah, it really has meant a lot to people. Yeah. We were actually just talking about this the other night, Ryder and I were saying, no matter what age we have been, there's always been a 17-year-old who's a fan. Like, no matter how old we get, there's still always, somewhere, there's a 17-year-old who likes the show.
Yeah,
exactly, which is great. But no, I'd never in a million years would I thought I'd be doing a podcast, which is great. I hear the podcast. You guys have like gazillion followers. That's amazing.
I don't know about a gazillion, but we have a lot of very loyal listeners that we love, who love the show and love knowing about every detail. We actually, when we first started the podcast, we thought, well, we're going to have to figure out how much people actually care to know. Like maybe some of the real inside baseball stuff they won't care about. And what we've discovered is that people just love it all. They want to know all the details they can. And so, as I mentioned in your introduction, we have had on Danny McNulty, who came on to talk about his experience playing Harley Kiner. We had Adam Scott come on to tell his story as Griff Hawkins. And we talked to Ethan Suplee and Blake Soper at the time, who's now Blake Sennett, about their roles as Joey and Frankie. And you are like the last piece.
Last piece of the puzzle.
Last piece of the puzzle.
Yes. You know, that's funny because when they were casting it, I guess Danny couldn't do Harley anymore. So yeah. I think Michael Jacobs said that. You're the last piece of the puzzle.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, so that is actually exactly what my first question for you is. What do you remember from your audition for Boy Meets World? And what was the setup for how Harley Kiner was coming to you?
Well, I didn't know that much about the script. I knew about the character, obviously, and yeah, it was a great character. And when they were interested in me and they brought me back, you know, to the producers and explained that there's already a character, Harley and stuff, and you're going to be replacing him. And that was all I knew. And I was like, I don't want to know anymore. Let me just focus on the scene and stuff like that. And yeah, they just like what I did. And, you know, I was kind of the bad boy character at that point in my life anyway. So they were like,
oh, really?
You're it.
Not much of a stretch.
Yeah. In fact, they saw me out on the back lot, you know, beating some guy's car up.
Wait a minute. That guy. We need that guy.
Okay. So it was also part of it was a choice that you were like, listen, I don't want to know too many details because I don't want that in my head. I just want to be able to take this character and make it my own. Did they try to show you clips of Danny? Did they want you to do any sort of Danny imitation? Or was it really like, listen, you're just going to take this character and make it your own? But of course, within the confines of it needs to be kind of this bad boy character.
Yeah, they. From what I remember, they didn't want me to know too much about the previous Harley.
Got it.
Which I think he played it a little more straight than I did. I played it a little more goofy, which I think they liked the contrast. So yeah, I don't think they wanted me to see his work.
Here's a question: have you seen his work since?
Yeah, or had you seen it before? Had you seen an episode of Boy Meets World with him as Harley?
No, I didn't see anything. Back then we didn't really have, you know, we didn't have the internet at our luxury to just look up old episodes. So no, I didn't really know much about it. I looked up, you know, I got the TV guide out and did as much research and recorded something on VHS, I think. So, yeah, I think I watched a couple episodes that I taped, but the Harley wasn't in those.
Okay, great. So they were just regular episodes of Boy Meets World. So you were at least familiar because, it's like part of actor prep. You want to know, like, right?
Fred's little brother. I'm like, wow, this is great. The show was great. So,
Okay. So do you remember your first day on set? And were you nervous walking into this replacement situation?
I wasn't too nervous. Michael was really great. And everyone was really warm and welcoming. And all of you guys were really, I think very accepting of the guest stars and stuff like that. So I wasn't really that nervous, my two co-stars,
Blake and Ethan.
Sidekicks, they were great. And I think the three of us hit it off immediately and we rehearsing and doing all kind of comedy bits, together. Yeah. So it was fun. It was fun right off the bat.
Good. Okay, good.
I'm glad to hear. I'm glad to hear too. That because it was kind of a slap in the face week for us that, just with Dan, with everything that happened with Danny in the beginning of the week. And so it's nice to know that didn't cause us to slip into a kind of like, who's this person walking? That's the thing that I was afraid of is that you were going to come on here and maybe be like, you guys were nice, but it was a little bit cold because we had a little bit of a boomerang effect from everything that happened. So I'm glad that we were trying to hold it together a little bit ourselves, frankly.
Oh, you guys were great. And let me ask you, I might have known back then some of the details, but what did happen?
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you know?
No,
yeah.
I think I don't.
Ryder, you want to take it?
Yeah, so Danny had been on already like what?
Seven episodes.
Yeah. So he had done seven episodes as Harley and they had written this episode and we showed up at the table read and he had a real mental breakdown. Like he just did not during the table read, he was struggling with mental illness essentially and couldn't get through the table read. Barely got through the table read. And had to go to the hospital, ended up in the hospital for multiple weeks. And so, we as kids, nobody explained to us what was happening. We just were at this table read and watched Danny not be able to finish the script, like not be able to say his lines.
He couldn't focus.
He couldn't focus. I mean, he had struggled with dyslexia anyway. So he was just not in the right mind frame to be able to read the script. So he like physically couldn't read. And,
you know, I think what we interpreted as kids was that something had gone on with drugs, or we didn't know
that he was on drugs.
But all we knew is that he was gone. And then you came in, I think even later that day or the next day. And it was, you know, and no one ever explained it to us. We never saw Danny. Danny did come back eventually, I think, the next season.
Yeah, season three.
But yeah.
For one episode, right? He came back for one more, and that was it. Yeah.
So this episode is a very bizarre moment in all of our memories, you know, where we have the episode with you playing Harley, which is also just kind of a bizarre choice. Like, why didn't they just make a new character? But instead, they kept the script exactly as it was written and brought you in to play the same character. Yeah. And it's just, you know, so it's one of those things where you're like, what was going on that week? And then with this podcast, we were able to bring Danny back, and he was able to explain what was happening in his personal life and what was going on.
Yeah, because all this time we've never really known. We've never really known what the situation was.
Which was unfortunately perfectly in keeping with mental illness at the time in the 90s, where it was just like, let's not talk about it. It's right. Nobody
just shove
knows.
It under the rug.
And one of the things we were saying is we kind of said, well, because we were kids, they didn't let us in on it, and it's a mental health thing, which nobody talked about. But the adults didn't know what to do either. I mean, it was just kind of everybody like, all right, let's move on and hope he gets better. And just nobody spoke about it. So it was one of the more bizarre weeks we had, I would say, of the entire 7 years of the show. Yeah. And that's why you were so integral, because it was just all of a sudden it was like, and here's the new Harley, go.
Yeah.
And so it's
really nice to hear, like Will was saying, it's really nice to hear that you felt warm and welcomed by everybody, because I also thought it's possible that even for Blake and Ethan, they didn't know what was going on. And so then to have somebody new come in, there was, of course, a possibility that you would have felt some sort of discomfort or awkwardness from any of us. So it makes all of us feel really good to know that your memory and the feeling you were left with was that you were very welcomed, and that you were, you know, given freedom to do your own thing as the character.
Let me ask you, did the producers explain at all what happened with Danny, or they just...
Nope.
They didn't really know either. They weren't sure. He ended up being hospitalized for a month and was put on lithium but that took some time. Like, he was taken to a mental health hospital, and it took some time for him to get a diagnosis. And like Will was saying, I think the adults really didn't know. They didn't know whether, you know, the discussions we have now around mental health it is night and day. It also felt like a violation to talk about it. Right. Like, oh, it's, you know, it's a private thing. And I don't think anybody knew how to handle it or what to say. And so they didn't really know. So we didn't know what was going on. We just knew, hey, this guy's coming in. This guy, Kenny, is here now.
Well, we knew the show must go on. That attitude of like the show must go on was such a thing, which is just, you know, that's when we just watched the episode and for the first time. And it's bizarre, because they could have easily just had you come in as, you know, Harv something, some other name, like not reference. But it's interesting that they gave you all of his lines. You're calling Ben Baboon, which is what that character had done before. You know, it's clearly Harley Kiner. So it's a very bizarre choice that only could have happened in the 90s when there were no reruns.
Well, it's
and no
also
DVDs.
What makes it even more bizarre is that our show was the king of rewrites.
I know.
Rewriting everything all the time, up to and including in front of the audience. And then this happens and it's like, we're not going to rewrite anything. Like, wait, what? That's what you do. That's all you do. So it was very strange. Just every kind of, and again, there is a very real possibility that the shock we felt as actors, they felt in the writer's room.
Yeah.
Where it was just this kind of, everyone got into this weird tunnel vision of, okay, all right, put the show on. What the hell just happened? Let's figure out next steps. And because nobody's kind of processing what actually took place. So that's true too. That could be true as well, is that again, it goes back to one of the overriding themes of this podcast. When you're a kid, you think the adults know everything that's going on, and they know
how to
control everything. And thank God they're here, because they don't either. Everybody's kind of stumbling through, especially something like this, which was so out of left field that it could be everybody just was drop shocked again, had no idea what was going on.
And it was this episode that he had the breakdown on when
like the day you got there was either the day
or the day before.
Yeah, that either happened in the morning on Thursday and then you were there for rehearsal Thursday night, or that happened on Thursday and you were there Friday morning.
That's right. Because I remember I read in the morning and then they brought me back that same day for producers later on. Yeah.
Oh, that must have been Monday. Excuse me. It would have been Friday,
Friday
table
and
read.
Monday.
So they probably had the weekend to figure out what they do. But again, they'd have the weekend to rewrite.
I know.
So
I know.
They just probably went, keep it as it is, brought you in Monday, and then that was it. So, gosh, so strange.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Sometimes it's a struggle between buying what you want over buying what you need.
But with the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can do both. You can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you can earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking.
Earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like those new golf clubs you've been eyeing.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a divot repair tool after you've torn up your lawn.
Let's try that again. Earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like workout equipment for your home.
And then earn 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller to soothe your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Were you told that this was maybe going to be a recurring role? Did you have any idea?
Yeah, I thought they did tell me that that this is one of two episodes I'm probably going to be in, but things were a little bit up in the air, you know. And you know, I worked enough at that point not to get my hopes up to go, I'm going to be on the show, you know, regularly. But I was hoping, of course, you know, it would be at least a few more episodes or a couple more episodes. But
right, wow. Okay. And so do you have any real specific memories from shooting in front of the audience or working with Blake and Ethan? Like you said, you guys, the three of you got along very well and kind of fell into a natural rhythm together. Do you have any specific favorite memories from that week?
So long ago, but I just think, you know, the thing that we had together, and I think Ben, you know, was really great, and the other actor, I can't think of his name, his first
Ryder
name.
Strong.
Yes, me. Right.
This man right here. Yes. Yeah. Right.
My God, you look great, by the way. I really I was a little nervous stepping into a character that was already there. So I was really focused on my lines and trying to put in a really good performance and fit in and make a good impression and all. I was really impressed by everyone's professionalism and how well you guys were already, you know, what a good team you were. And this was season two, correct?
Yeah.
So it was great. It was stepping into such a professional stage, and the teacher was great, you know, and I think the scene with the motorcycle was my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, you know, goofing around a little bit, and the teacher looked at me once with his eyes. I was like, oh my God, this guy is for real. Is it, you know? and I think that was probably my favorite scene with the baseball bat.
That's cool.
And the beautiful Harley I got to sit on, too.
Gorgeous bike so that we talk about all the time. Yeah.
Incredible. We had you watch the episode so that you were familiar with the episode before you came on the podcast. Yeah. Watching it now, when was the last time you saw it? Did you see it when it originally aired? Have you ever seen it since?
I've seen clips of it. I think, you know, on cable, you know, late at night or something. I'm like, hey, there I am. and then, you know, when my students, I was a teacher's assistant for a while. And when my students, you know, got a kick out of it, you know, I would go back and watch it and go, wow, that was pretty fun. You know, it was
great.
No, I haven't seen it for a long time. I watched it last night at the house. And
what was that like for you? What did you think about it, you know, nearly 30 years later?
I forgot how many characters were in it. That Nancy Kerrigan was in it. I was like, I totally forgot about that. I mean, for you all, what was that kind of a standout episode in that regard? Like Nancy Kerrigan was in it, and there was so many different things happening in that episode. Or
yeah, that's what we couldn't believe that all of these things happened in the same episode. It was like, you came in playing Harley, which is already made it a bizarre week. Will went off and did this whole extra scene with Nancy Kerrigan in New York, made it a very bizarre episode. And then also just, it's a very dramatic episode. You know, it ends with like this heartfelt moment between me and Mr. Turner. And it was just like, oh, this is the beginning of that whole relationship. So it ends up being a seminal episode in a lot of different ways.
That's what I was watching last night. I mean, your character had this kind of real, you know, enlightenment, or was going through this struggle about, you know, where he's from and stuff. And I was like, wow, maybe I should go back and watch all the seasons. If it was this deep, if all the episodes are this deep, it's great.
Yeah, no, it got deep, man. I mean, this is kind of the beginning of that.
Yeah.
So do you remember then after the taping, how you were told, or were you told, that you weren't going to be coming back? Or did you just not get that phone call for the second episode?
Yeah, I did not get the phone call. And like I said, you know, he was really nice. You know, he wasn't promising anything, Michael.
Yeah.
But they liked me, and it did seem like I was going to come back for at least one more episode, but just never got that call. And you know, I was working on other stuff, which was great. I wasn't just sitting around waiting for the call, which is nice. But I knew something happened with the character, and I guess I didn't really research or look too far into it, but I knew there was a possibility that maybe he would come back as well, you know.
Right. Yeah.
The actor.
Had you done a multi-camera live audience show before?
Yeah, I did a show called Teach in 1990. We did, I think we did 13 episodes.
Oh, wow. I remember Teach. Yeah, absolutely. It was almost like a Welcome Back Cotter kind of. Yeah, absolutely.
It was head of the class kind of. Welcome Back Cotter. It was like a Dead Poets Society meets Eddie Murphy meets Welcome Back Cotter kind of thing.
Oh, wow. I remember Teach. Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So we ran like, I think, six episodes. And then we our lead in was a Red Fox show. Oh. And then he had a heart attack and died, unfortunately, and that killed us as well. So, I've done a fair amount of sitcoms before that, you know, with the live audience, and there's nothing like that, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's the best.
It's the perfect hybrid.
It's great that they're still, I think it's almost like there's a lot of them come back in the last like 5 years or so. Seems like it more, you know, sitcom. Four camera.
That's what we're hoping for, right, Will?
Yep. Yo, but please. Please.
I was just doing some press for a movie I directed, and it was one of the things they asked me. It was like, do you think there are going to be more multi-camera comedies coming out? And I was like, this must be in the universe, because it must be something people are talking about. And Will and I are both like, we love it so much as a medium, and right. I'd love to see more of them.
Yes.
I mean, Kenny, you have a very full IMDb page. Does Boy Meets World ever come up for you? I know you mentioned for your students when you were a teacher's assistant, which I'd also love to get into. But
yeah.
Are you ever out and about somewhere and somebody stops you, and of all the things they could mention, they mention Boy Meets World?
Not in a long time. Okay. Maybe about 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when it was still, you know, they would rerun it.
Still in reruns,
you know, at the supermarket, you know. 20 somethings would go, oh my God, that's Harley. And which is great, because I only did one episode. So, you know, after I'd done it and aired after a few years, I'm like, no one's going to remember me just from that one episode. I mean, but people did recognize me, you know, back then, but not much anymore though.
So tell me about your time as a teacher's assistant, and what is that, like a second career you have that you love? And tell me, we talk about that a lot on our podcast, about actors who have other passions and pursue other jobs. And we're always so supportive of that, because, you know, most of the time you hear about an actor doing something else, and in the press, it's presented like a sad story. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's so right. sad they're doing this other thing. And
you're,
it's like,
a
hey,
lawyer now. I'm sorry
yeah.
to hear
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That horrible feeling of like, whatever.
$200,000 a year as
yeah.
a lawyer.
Oh, that's
exactly.
Terrible.
That poor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but so tell me about your teaching work.
Well, I got the job around 2007, 2008, when everything crashed, the market crashed, and it was the Great Recession. And I got worried, and things slowed down for everybody. But I was also at that age where I wasn't the young guy anymore, and I wasn't the dad yet. So I was in right. that lull. So I was like, maybe I should, you know, find something I can have for some extra income. So my friend worked at a nursing school, actually. It was called West Coast University. It's a private nursing school, credited. So, you know, it was very, very popular at the time. Everyone was running into nursing right around that.
Sure.
So I just became a teacher's assistant, and I helped them design study guides, and kind of like a proctor. I would sit in on tests, and which was great, because I wasn't the teacher that they kind of hated. I was the in between, you know, that
right.
the guy they kind of liked. And
that's
I know
cool.
It was fun. Yeah. So I did that for probably about 7 to 10 years. And those kids were still, you know, watching Boy Meets World and, you know, a lot of those shows. So it was fun. And I liked it a lot. I got a lot out of it in terms of helping these people, you know, get their BSA in nursing, which isn't easy. The
right.
state board test is hard. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And
that's
they would
so cool.
they would get their BSA in 3 years. So it was
fast.
A speed, accelerated program. Yeah. So there's a lot of stress, a lot of heartbreak and disappointment when they didn't pass, because their parents would put so much money, you know, because the program itself was a lot of money. It was like, you know, $150,000.
Jeez.
So it was great. It was really rewarding, and gave me a little, you know, a little side income, and then things picked back up, and then I got back into the young dad, and that's kind of running. So
tell us about what you're doing now and where we can find you. I know all of our dear listeners are going to want to know more about you. So what's going on in your life now?
Well, I did a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Oh, yes! That's what Will wants to do.
My dream. Yeah. You're living my dream. Did you not like people. Christmas and then find Christmas? Is that what happened?
Exactly.
Like, oh, this is not gonna. And then all of a sudden, like, wait a minute, yeah. My heart's melted. Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
And you know, I haven't watched many, but once I booked the job last summer. I started going back and watching them, and it's true. It grabs your heart. You're like, oh my God, these movies are so good. You think, you know, it's like Hallmark, you know, but no, it was a good one. I think we got a lot of good feedback on it. It was called The Prince and Pauper Christmas.
Yeah,
I've
heard
Where of Where did Prince you shoot? Did you shoot it Christmas. In Canada or was
no,
it?
No, we shot it here.
Oh, wow.
We shot it here, but a lot of the crew,
yeah.
They shoot a lot of them up there. But no,
I just imagine
shot
that there's one town that's actually Christmas Town where they make
right,
all
Christmas
these movies.
Yeah,
it's
Hallmark
presents this
Hallmark
town.
Christmas Town.
Yeah, exactly.
But we did shoot it. It was a fictitious town, I think. Mm-hmm. I forget the name of it. But we shot it in Thousand Oaks at one of the Marriotts or Double Trees up there. but most of the movie took place in this hotel where the prince and the pauper switch places.
Gotcha.
That famous old story, the prince and pauper. So they had the whole hotel locked down for like 2 weeks, and we shot the whole movie in 2 weeks. So wow. It was great. You know, we didn't have to, you know, go to different locations around the city. We set up camp there, and it was fun. It was a great experience. Everyone was great. So
that's awesome. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So do you also have a social media?
I do. It's Kenny Johnston 777 at Instagram.
Okay, perfect.
At the IG. Twitter, I'm not too up on it yet, but you know, I'm more of a lurker in Twitter.
right. A lurker. That's how I am. I lurk occasionally. Yeah.
I don't have anything to apologize for yet. So it's like hopefully nice. I never do. Hopefully I never do. Nice. And there's also a movie. It's getting really good reviews on demand. It's one of the best rented movies. It's called The Last Deal.
Mm.
Okay.
And it's a great story. It's about one of the last marijuana dealers that had his own illegal practice before everything became legal. And he couldn't get a legal license because all of the companies already had their license and they didn't want any more to get any license. So he made one last deal and it didn't go very well. So,
great idea. Yeah. Great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it.
That is not a Hallmark movie.
That is not a Hallmark.
It's not cannabis. The Hallmark Christmas Hallmark last marijuana deal.
Christmas cannabis.
Santa's got to do one last deal before he hangs it up. Exactly. I don't see that happening. Yeah, yeah, nice.
The Hallmark people don't know about that one. check that out if you guys, to any of the listeners are into watching, you know, sitting home on a Friday going, what to rent?
Yes.
It's the last deal. And it's very entertaining.
Okay. Great. Well, my final question for you is, almost 30 years later, how do you reflect on your 1 week as Harley Kiner?
It was a blast. I mean, watching it last night, you always look back at your work. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm hitting my hand.
Really?
My head, just, you know. But it was.
We thought you were great.
Yeah, you
were.
So thanks. Great.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. But it was a lot of fun, you know, and I haven't worked that much. So, you know, all the jobs like that, you know, at that age, you're just like wide eyed and just, you know, so happy to be there, you know. So but the response over the years of just the show in general, you know, the success of the show and what it meant to, you know, that generation and to so many people. I was just really happy to be a part of that, you know.
Well, we are really happy that you were a part of it as well. And we are so happy that you took your time out today to spend this time with us. You are a huge part of Boy Meets World canon. I mean, and in our memories.
Boy Meets World lore.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's so great to hear the inside of that. Because I had, you know, really no idea that all that was going on.
I know. And it's crazy that in 2023 is where you're learning about it. You know,
exactly.
It's so funny. It's so crazy.
You know, I always think back, I'm like, whatever did happen?
What was going on with that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
thank you so much.
He's doing really well. He's doing really well now, which is awesome. So he's in a great place. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Kenny. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Good to see you, Kenny.
Thank you. It's great to see you. See you again.
Yep. Take care.
Maybe we could get Will and Kenny into a Hallmark movie together.
Yeah. Will plays the one who loves Christmas. He plays the one who hates Christmas.
Then they switch places. Type, where right. I'm the one trying to do the last marijuana deal. Oh, wait, no, I've combined. Oh,
what if we switch out Kenny with Danny halfway through?
I like it. Make it really meta. The same jacket on.
Guys, something occurred to me while we were talking to him. I think part of the reason that they didn't rewrite it is that they were hoping Danny would come back.
Right.
I think they were
even
so...
Even for that week, you think?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, I think they were hoping, they hired Kenny, they brought him in, and I think part of them was hoping that Dan, because if they didn't know what was going on and they just thought, oh, he just needs a day to rest or a couple of days, they were hoping to just have rehearsal with Kenny and then maybe not have to rewrite the whole script if Danny could come back. And, you know, I think it's actually not a horrible idea at the time because they were you know, they didn't know how serious it was. They could have just been like he
and
just
they
needs
were probably
to
in
whatever.
Touch with him and or the hospital, and they probably were still trying to figure out exactly what it was. So it could have just been a we don't know answer.
Right.
And if you're getting a we don't know, you fingers crossed that he's coming out of there, and by tape night he'll roll in. That's a really good thought, writer.
I texted Kendall during the conversation just to see if there was any hey.
do you remember this? And he said, I honestly don't remember. I think it was, he said, I don't remember any of it. And I think
what
it,
a blur
I think
of a week.
The week
really? Kendall doesn't
so,
remember anything about
no,
it?
He says, because I asked him, I said, do you, what was the thinking behind right. not rewriting and bringing in a new actor? He said, I honestly, I can't remember. Yeah, wow. And I think all of us were in such a blur. It was such a yeah. daze that it just went by like it just everyone was yeah. kind of.
But okay, it just doesn't because you know we just watched 220 and you know obviously they wrote to the fact that Danny was not there for the next
yeah.
episode.
Yes,
so that, yeah. that's what's so yeah that's what's intense is like why didn't they address right. it you know 3 days earlier and
you
rewrite
could be
the script all night?
Writer where it's
I
like,
think they were holding
hey,
out.
It's gonna be he'll be back tomorrow and we he yeah. had food poisoning or you know right. it's like he just right. maybe he did he came
which also
drunk.
Would have been horrible for poor Kenny like who then would have been like told no thanks
thank you,
you know?
Here's your
yeah
here's
thanks
your payment
and we're
for
not gonna actually make it to tape night we're right. gonna bring yeah. in the old guy anyway yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's, you know, it's this bit, industry is just brutal, man.
Ain't show like, friends, baby. It's show business. You know,
it's
that's
true.
What they, it's really, really what happens. You know, they just, yeah, the show must go on is the nice way of saying that. But the, right. the problem is there's a lot of people left in the wake when that happens sometimes.
Oh, my God.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's tough.
Well, thank you all for joining us for this episode of Pod Meets World. You can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. As always, you can send us your emails, podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we have merch.
Is it merchandising?
Podmeetsworldshow.com. Will, send us out.
We love you all. Pod dismissed. Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production, Danielle Romo. Producer and editor, Tara Sudbach. Producer, Jackie Rodriguez. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan, Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon, and you can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.